wow, just two chapters left.
We really hope you're enjoying the story. Is Archery's going to get his happy ever after ending? Or is there yet another twist in the tale?
We wouldn't keep you in suspenders much longer.
What an image, though. What an image. All those lovely listeners in lingerie. Hang on. I just remember both sets of our parents listened to this, and that's what I'll be thinking of at Christmas dinner now.
Lovely.
Anyway, I'm Ferg.
He's Heather.
Correct. And we are new old friends. Before we see how Peter is getting on in the penultimate hashtag Noth question, number 23.
How do you say Merry Christmas in Spanish?
I know.
Very good. Very good. Okay.
On.
With.
Grimes.
Against.
No.
No, wrong one. That was last year's. My bad.
Even the newest new old friend was unhappy with that.
Sorry, sweet. Crimes, clues, and Christmas.
Ding, ding. Ding.
Crimes, Clues and Christmas, Chapter 23.
I shouldn't have lied. I've been going out of my mind. I don't think Marlene and Cakey killed Daisy, and I think it's because of me that the real killer walks free.
As conversation starters go, this from Rudy Lightfoot on the stage at the ballet's home theatre was quite the attention grabber. Chaz and I exchanged a quick look, and then both started firing off questions over the top of one another.
Lying about
real
what?
Killer?
What are you talking about, Rudy?
Until we both realised this was getting us nowhere and calmed down a bit, Chaz took the lead.
Rudy, what is going on? What are you talking about?
I can't take it anymore, Chaz. I need to tell someone. I'm sorry.
It's okay, Rudy. We're here. Tell us what's wrong.
I lied, Chaz. I'm a liar.
Is this about you being Ronald?
She asked with a kindly smile. Rudy's head snapped up and his eyes bore holes in my head.
Did you tell her, Archridge?
I haven't said a word, I swear, I protested. I looked to Chaz for confirmation.
Have I?
No, Archridge didn't tell me, Rudy. We all knew, me, Barrington, even Dot.
What? How'd you find out?
It was about a year ago. One of your many conquests wasn't happy when you grew tired of her and started following you everywhere. She saw you meet up with one of your old friends and heard them calling you Ronald and gently mocking you for being a fancy dancer now. She came back and told Barrington, who told me and Dot.
You never said anything.
A pathetic look had washed over him. He appeared to have physically shrunk on the edge of the stage.
You all knew, but never said anything.
It seemed important to you. We didn't want to embarrass you.
But if you'd said, I'd have known it was okay. And then he wouldn't have been able to blackmail me.
I spotted the pronoun there and jumped in.
Hang on. He? You told Inspector O'Rowby and me that Daisy Love was the one blackmailing you.
Rudy hung his head in shame.
Yeah, I know. I hate myself for it, but he forced me. He said this would be the final thing he'd ask me to do. It'd be over after that. I just did it, but it's been eating away at me. What if he's the killer and I've helped him get away with it? Daisy was a nice girl. She didn't do nothing to deserve that. I know she couldn't pick up the steps as quickly as Mr. Barrington wanted, but that's no reason.
Are you saying Barrington was blackmailing you?
Cut in Chaz.
No, it was Mr. Rawlins.
Rawlins? What?
He learned about my past and was using it to force me to help him.
Help him how?
Well, it gives me the creeps just thinking about it. Rawlins and Dot are having an affair.
Dot Clitheroe!
I exclaimed.
Little Dot, the general manager, Dot!
Yeah, I came in early, threw some stretches and caught him at it in the stalls. Pretty much where you two are sat, actually.
We both leapt out of our seats.
I thought maybe my knowing might help my career out. You know, they might want to keep me sweet. I never said anything to anyone, mind. Never tried to blackmail them or anything. Then one day, Rawlins turns up in my dressing room and tells me he knows I know, but that he also knows all about my past. He says I'm going to help him or he's going to ruin me. Again, how did he want you to help him? It started off with small things. I was to stay late or come in early for extra rehearsal so there was a reason for the theatre to be open and they could meet. But then he started making me pay for their meals and things so that his wife wouldn't spot it in his bank statements. They ate at fancy places, and I don't exactly get paid the earth to begin with.
Okay, so Rawlins is a slimeball, but it's quite a jump from there to him killing Daisy and somehow convincing Cakey and Marlena to commit suicide.
I'm saying I don't think it was suicide. I think he switched out the cigarettes. He's evil. But why would he want to hurt Marlena and Cakey?
I think she found out about Rawlins and Dot somehow. Think about it. We've all made jokes about his ears, and he's not that touchy about it. Plus, even though they took away her role, they were still paying her a full wage just to hang around.
I don't know, Rudy.
Chaz looked at me and I shrugged back. The truth was, it didn't exactly make the most compelling case I'd ever heard. But then, a shot rang out from the back of the auditorium and any doubts were blasted away. Rudy grabbed his chest and toppled forward off the stage, landing with a horrible sound, like a bag of meat being dropped onto a butcher's floor. Chaz and I crouched down behind the seats, clutching one another in our arms.
"Stand up, Partridge," commanded Rawlins. "Stand up, or I'll just blast away at the seats until I hit you. If you stand up, I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to talk."
I peeked through the gap between two chairs and saw him stood in the central aisle of the auditorium, a pistol held loosely in his hand. I pushed Chaz away from me and whispered to her.
"You crawl over that way. I'm going to speak to him, and I don't want you to get hurt if he starts firing at me."
"You can't do that, Peter."
"Do you have any better ideas?" "No, I'm really asking, do you have any better ideas?"
She shook her head sadly. I took a moment to admire her gorgeous hair as it cascaded about her head and then shooed her away silently.
"I'm here, Mr. Rawlins," I said without standing up. "What on earth's going on? What are you even doing here?"
"Well, you've heard most of it from Mr. Lightfoot there."
Rudy groaned from his prone position. At least he was still alive, for now.
"Dorothy and I have a connection, it's true. I was actually just with her in the office. We heard the whole thing over the Tannoy system. I thought I'd better come down and put a stop to it before anyone got away."
"So is Dot in on it too?"
shouted Chaz from her side of the stalls. She was supposed to stay quiet.
"Oh, Miss McConstance, hello." "She was quite shocked to hear just the length I'd gone to, it's fair to say. But I've explained there's nothing I wouldn't do for our love."
"If there's nothing you wouldn't do, why not just get a divorce?"
That was a good question, although not one I would oppose to a homicidal maniac with a gun.
"You're right. There is one thing I wouldn't do. Florence is a good woman. I didn't want to hurt her."
"But you were perfectly happy to kill Daisy Love."
"I didn't mean to kill her. I thought at worst I'd injure someone."
"Well, then what was the plan?" I asked, feeling like I should carry some of the weight for the interrogation. My own plan had, as yet, failed to materialise in my brain, but the longer we could keep Rawlins talking, the more chance there was of enlightenment.
Enlightenment? The lights had been on in the foyer. The young girl was there. Well, surely she would have heard the gunshot and be calling the police, wouldn't she?
I got Chaz's attention by waving an arm. She looked over, and I did my best to mime the situation as I saw it. Whether my charade had brought her up to speed, I couldn't say, but she at least locked her own question out, prompting a further response from Rawlins.
"Yeah, why are you trying to injure anyone in the first place?"
"Well, my first attempt to rid myself of Marlene involved you, Artridge. I thought I could rely on you to find the jewels in Marlena's temporary dressing room, but she was too wily for me. I'll give the Germans that, they're shrewd. She found them before you did, and hid them in Daisy's flowers, killing two birds with one stone. She got rid of the danger to herself and also would get to dance again. Like I say, shrewd."
"But when the sandbag fell, I'd only had one day on the case. You hardly gave me a chance," I whined. I felt like my professional integrity had been maligned, which I know wasn't the worst crime of the day, but still.
"Ah, but I heard from Dot you were making a right pig's ear of it already, so I took steps. I rigged the candle and sandbag trick, thinking something like that falling centre stage was likely to cause enough of a ruckus and give me a pretense to shut the whole thing down, which would get Marlena out of my hair another way. I truly didn't mean to hurt Daisy."
"What about Marlena and Keiki?"
Chaz shouted over a row of seats.
"Now, I feel really bad about Keiki, to be honest. I'd no idea what was going on with the pair. But if he's stupid enough to be seduced by that awful creature, he got what was coming to him."
I thought it a bit rich to be calling the incredibly glamorous Marlene Schweinvolger an awful creature when he was having an affair with Doc Clitheroe, but different strokes for different folks, I suppose.
"After it became clear that all my previous efforts were failing, I had to take drastic steps. I leaned on one of our club members within the military to procure me the cyanide, said we had a pest problem we needed dealing with. Then it was quite simple to soak our stinky cigarettes in the stuff, knowing it would just be a matter of time."
I couldn't think of any response. I glanced over at Chaz, who simply had her hands palm up.
What about the letter Marlena wrote? She blamed Daisy for telling you about her joke."
"It was a fake. Doc can forge her signature so she can do her fan mail." "Right. I think that's story time over. Here's the deal, Artridge. I've had to listen to that bloody story of yours from last Christmas on Richtenstein enough times. I'll make you the same offer that that Duplantis fellow did."
"You want me to hang myself?"
"Not quite. You give yourself up and I'll overpower you, saving Ms. McConstance here. But sadly, you'll be shot in the struggle. If she swears to corroborate my story, no more hurt has to be done by anyone to anyone. Failing that, I can just start blasting away. Both of you will die, and I'll just have to hope that my friends in the judiciary can let me off with a wrist slap. What do you say?
I looked over at Chaz, who was shaking her head. But he had us pinned down. What could I do? I stood up slowly, with my arms above my head. My only hope now was that the girl behind the bar had heard the shots and called the police, but they'd have to arrive pretty soon to save me. Rawlins casually levelled his revolver at me. Sweat pooled at the base of my neck and trickled under my dress collar and down my spine. Well, if this was to be it, at least Artridge was signing off dressed to the nines. I braced myself and closed my eyes, waiting to hear the gunshot, which would be the last thing my ears registered before my death. But instead of a gunshot, I heard Dot's guttural rasp.
Eldridge!
I opened my eyes. Dot had appeared in the doorway behind Rawlins.
Dorothy, wait in your office.
Rawlins snapped back over his shoulder, not taking his eyes off me.
I will not wait in my office. I've been listening to everything you said on the tannoy. You didn't tell me half the things you were up to.
Well, now you know. Go back to your office, Dorothy. You don't want to be here for this.
Don't do it, Eldridge. You're a better man than this.
Rawlins turned to face her. I briefly considered making a break for it. But to where? And what would happen to Chaz? I stayed put.
Don't push me, Dorothy. I know who I am. I've made my bed, and now I need to lie in it. This is happening.
He turned back to face me.
I'm awfully sorry about this, Artridge.
Crimes, Clues and Christmas is a New Old Friends production, part of the Comedy Whodunits For Your Ears podcast series. Written and performed by Fergus Woods-Dunlop and Heather Westwell, with sound and music by Fred Riding. New Old Friends gratefully acknowledge the support of Arts Council England in making Comedy Whodunits For Your Ears.